our prayers to the Lord or what we speak to our Heavenly Father, the one that has loved us so much and called us out of the darkness we were in nature and given us life in the Lord. And to be able to communicate with Him tonight as a congregation is a great, great blessing that the Lord has provided for us. I do ask you just to continue to pray. Brother Bobby has prayed. I feel the Lord touched his heart to give him the words that I needed. And right now, I very much need your prayers that the Lord would supply what we need together tonight as a church. And I speak to you, each and every one of you. I love you, and I thank God for you. And I thank God for our fellowship. And I pray that the Lord would just supply to me the words that you need, that God would give you the instruction from Him tonight. We come in with all kinds of problems. We sometimes come in with our thoughts so far away from the things of God. I pray that He'll bring us back tonight, that we can just focus on Him and find the joy and the rest and the peace that a little child of God finds when we do that. And there is a joy and a rest and a peace that the Lord has left for us on, and He's given to us. And I pray tonight that He'll bless each of us with it. I do need your prayers as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'm just going to read a short portion of Scripture in your hearing tonight. I don't intend to be lengthy. I may be real brief tonight. I feel like we've already had a wonderful song service. I feel the prayer just spoke what I felt in my heart. It's been what I needed, and it's been an encouragement to me. I just pray the Lord will give us what we need, and it doesn't mean a minister has to preach for 45 minutes or 30 minutes. It's sometimes maybe the brevity in our statements might be a lot better than lengthy, and just to give the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory is a great blessing tonight. I'd like to read to you from the book of Philippians, the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi, and if you have your Bibles, can turn with me. I'd like to read to you tonight, beginning at chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 of Philippians. And we'll probably read down through verse 11, because that's where you kind of come to some thoughts that kind of conclude around verse 11. But we'll read it all in your hearing, but probably going to speak from just the first several verses of this chapter. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul, speaking to the church and to the brethren there, says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I say to you tonight what a privilege and blessing it is to be able to say together with you that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. And we say that to the glory of God the Father. He's not Lord because we put Him in that place. He's Lord because He put Himself in that place. He is the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he says to us, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if this message means anything to you, if the person of the Lord Jesus Christ means anything to you, if it's been any consolation for you. I think about my own life and what a consolation it has been to have a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This didn't start by me reaching out to the Lord. It didn't begin by me looking up to Him. It wasn't someone who found me along the way and convinced me to find the Lord that allowed me to have this great blessing. This consolation came by the work of Almighty God in my life. And that's true of each and every one of God's little children. What does it mean to you to be in Christ? And if you are in Christ, how is it that you are in Christ? Some people say, well, I made a choice for Christ and that brought me into Christ. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that if we were in Christ, we were chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world, that He chose us before we ever made any choice of Him. It also tells us that we were created in Him, which means we were made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He took up His abode in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit, we were born again of His Spirit and made new creatures, and we became in Christ, and that He became a part of us. We were made new creatures. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And then we begin to love things that we would have never loved and hate things that at one time we loved so dearly. And He changed our total appetite. What a difference the Lord has made in the lives of every one of His children. And He's appealing to that as He's speaking here, as the Apostle Paul is speaking by inspiration of God. He's appealing to those dear members of the Philippian church. And He's telling them, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, I ask you tonight, is there any consolation that's in your life because of Christ? Are you consoled by Christ being Lord? Is it not a consolation tonight that we have a friend? What a friend we have in Jesus that we can call on in the midst of all of life's problems and troubles and know that we speak to one who truly cares and one who is Lord, who has the power to bring about changes in our life. And not only that, already knows what we need before we ask. And as we leave our lives in His hands and we turn it over and trust in Him, take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, we know we have a God who is not only able, but will supply those things that we stand in need of because we have an everlasting consolation in Him. You see, if our consolation was in just what we had done for the Lord, well, that wouldn't be much consolation because there are times we might be on track. And I remember a time in my life where my dependence and my trust was in what I had done for the Lord. And therefore, there was times I was very consoled about the Lord being my God and my help and my strength. But then there are other times because I felt I had failed to do my part that I became very concerned about, was He really my Lord? Well, I want you to know tonight, if He's your Lord, it's not because you made Him your Lord. It's because He chose to be your Lord, and you are His child by His choice. And there is an everlasting consolation that you and I have in the Lord. We read about it and over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, which, if I go the right way in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. And in chapter 2, and verse 16, he says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Tonight, why do you and I have consolation? And why is it everlasting? It's not because we chose Him. It's because He chose us. And therefore, you and I have someone to trust in tonight that we should be depending upon for the things that we need in this world, naturally speaking, but more importantly, eternally speaking, our eternal destiny is in His hands and in what He has done for us. And He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you and I should be able to console one another with that. I hope that consoles you. Hope tonight you find some comfort in that. That the Lord loved me. And if He's loved me, He will always love me. And He'll never stop loving me. He didn't love everybody in hopes to save somebody. He loved His people in particular. And He came to save those whom He loved. And the Bible says He has loved us. And if He has loved us, that's an eternal, everlasting love. And He has given us everlasting consolation. That means we can find comfort in what He has done. And good hope. You got a good hope tonight. Your hope is a good hope. It's not in what we did for Him. It's in what He has done for us. And we have that good hope through His grace. And so He says in verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, in every good word and work. What is the motivation tonight for you and I being here and serving the Lord? Why is it we are to do what we're doing tonight? It's because of the everlasting consolation that He has given to us. It's because of the salvation of which we have in Him. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, does Christ mean anything to you tonight? I hope, pray that He does. If He doesn't, I can't make it be that way for you. But if He does, it's an evidence that He has made it to be that way for you, and He has worked in you with that which I could not work, or you could not work, or that which you could not do. He has done that in you, and you have a King, you have a Lord that in the hardest and the most difficult times is there for you because He loved you. And He will supply what you need, including at times the chastisement that maybe we don't want, that He'll lovingly supply to us when we get off track. And that's one of the greatest blessings that God's little children have in this world. The Lord doesn't just let you run off. He's a good parent and He corrects you along the way. And He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. And tonight I believe we could all spend some time and talk about how good the Lord's been to us and all that He's done for us. I hope you fill your mind and thoughts with that tonight, of how good He's been to you. Where would you be tonight if He had just left you in the dark, dead state that we were in by nature? What would our lives be like? What would our families be like? What would our homes be like? What would this little church be like? If there had been no Lord that called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, if He had not blessed men to stand and preach the wonderful gospel of His consolation and what He's done for us, if He had not allowed you to hear it and understand it, if you were facing all the troubles and problems that you have in your life right now with the idea and thoughts that men have by nature that there is no God, there is no help, you're on your own, boy, this life would be miserable, wouldn't it? And sometimes we feel like it's miserable, but isn't it good to have a friend? Isn't it good to believe there's a home awaiting God's little children when we leave this world? And that we don't have to get ourselves ready for that home, but it's that which He has done for us. And because of what He's done for us eternally, we can believe and understand that He'll take care of us wherever we are and in whatever situation we're in and day out. As I come before You tonight, I pray, Lord, help me preach. And He hears my cry, and I have consolation that He hears my cry. And if I don't get to say all the things I'd like to say in a way I'd like to say them, then I can be settled with what God gives me. And you can be settled with what God gives me, and He'll bless you. And I have found this out. God isn't dependent on the preacher to feed His sheep. Though He calls men to do that, He'll do it in spite of us sometimes and our efforts. Sometimes I feel like my efforts are so weak and so feeble, and indeed they are. And yet the Lord can take one single thing that's said, doesn't He? Sometimes, and just apply it, and that can mean so very much. Sometimes it may not even mean that much to you in the service. But later on in the week, the Lord brings that back to your mind, and you go, thank You, Lord. Thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou hast done. I want us to think tonight how much we have to thank Him for. Because He's consoled us. He has comforted us. He has exhorted us. He has encouraged us again and again. And we are so full of doubt and so full of fear sometimes that we ought not be, but we are. And His consolation is everlasting. His consolation also, according to the Hebrew letter, is a strong consolation. So it's not a weak little consolation. You know, men sometimes can try to help you, and rather than try to help you, they hurt you. I'm number one guilty for that. There are sometimes I can try to give advice to those that I love the dearest and the most. And it seems like my vice goes the opposite direction. Rather than helping, it tends to hurt. And it tends to tear down rather than build up. That can happen even as you stand before a congregation and make an effort to preach, that your efforts are to build up, but sometimes you know, have you ever tried to say the right thing, but you always seem to say the wrong thing? Can I say to you tonight that you can read God's Word and there won't be a wrong thing in it? That any consolation He gives in His Word and any consolation we share together tonight, it won't be the wrong thing, it'll be just the right thing. And if you're wondering what to say, there's nothing better than to share than the truth of God's Word, because He knows what we stand in need of, and as we go to His Word for that which we need, it's when we try to figure it out ourselves or assume we understand that we become like Job's comforters. You and I wouldn't have wanted comforters like Job's comforters, because they assumed they knew everything Job was going through when they didn't have a clue. And so when they came and tried to comfort, they supplied answers that may be true, but it didn't apply to Job. And Job said to them, "Oh, you miserable comforters." I hope tonight you don't hear me and say, "Oh, what a miserable comforter Brother Gary was tonight." I know this, if you hear the voice of our Savior, you won't say, "What a miserable comforter." Because He will supply exactly what you need at the exact right amount. And if we listen to Him tonight, He will supply to this little church what we need. And we have in Him a strong consolation, and we have in Him an everlasting consolation. And He says, if there is any consolation in Christ, if He means anything to you, if there is any comfort of love, if the fact that He loves you comforts you, does that comfort you tonight? You may feel sometimes that nobody loves you or nobody understands you. I want you to know the Lord loves you. He loved you so much that the Father loved you so much He sent His Son. And the Son loved you so much that He came. And He came and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He who was the highest and the greatest in heaven came and took upon Himself. He came in the lowly form, being born even. He wasn't born in riches. He was born in poverty. And he took in His life all the pain and all the agony. And He carried our sins to Calvary. And there at Calvary, but long before we ever were, He paid a price for us. He paid it all. And He did it because He loved you. And because of that, nothing will ever separate you from His love. That means when you die, heaven awaits. So dying ain't so bad. And as you live, the Lord's with you. Every single day, every step of the way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you get discouraged, He's your strength. When you call upon Him, He will hear you. When you call on the preacher, he might be busy, but when you call on the Lord, He's never too busy. He always hears you. He'll even bless you with a preacher who'll listen. And He can supply what you stand in need of. If we look to one another, we won't have what we need. But if we look to the Lord, we'll have what we need every time. And we can be comforted in His love. Isn't it wonderful to know He loves me? Even though I mess up, even though I doubt Him, even though I haven't walked like I should have walked, He still loves me. And nothing will separate me from His love. The doctrines of this world say if you don't love Him, He won't love you. Or He'll love you, but He can't save you. He can't do anything for you. I want you to know that the one who had the power to love you, the one who had that love for you, has the power to save those whom He loves. Isn't it good to know we have that kind of God tonight? And He says, if there's any comfort of love. Are you comforted tonight, the fact that Jesus loves you? I want to tell you, He loves you. He loves me. He loves me. And oh, I want to love Him because He first love me. And He says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Tonight, I feel a fellowship. I'm thankful I have a little church. I'm thankful I have a place to come. I'm thankful when my family's in trouble, I have someone to talk to pray for me. When I need something, I got friends I can call on. Friends that understand that old Gary's a mess and he's in, and understand that they're a mess too. And that we're just a mess together. And if we had to trust just in one another to help one another, we'd be a mess. As much as I might want to help, I'm still just a mess. So how can I help God's little children? How can you help God's little children? By trusting in the one of us that's not a mess. And that's the Savior. And when you and I look to Him, then we're not looking everywhere else. And we're trusting in Him. And we become of one accord. and we begin to think like we ought to think, and we begin to be of one mind. We don't get in a fuss. You ever find that sometimes even when you try not to get in a fuss, just in a discussion, you end up in a fuss no matter what? Brother Junior tickled me today. He told me I don't think he'll mind that I share it. He said the amazing thing is that he and Brother Granville were able to ride all the way to Thumb Run and all the way back home and didn't get in a single fuss. And I thought, well, you know, that's a carpenter and an Oots. And you have an Oots and a carpenter riding together for very long, and the next thing you know, you'll have a fuss. And that's true of Sylvester's. It's true of all of us. We could throw some praises in there. We could throw all those. Now, by our very nature, it's our nature, isn't it, to fuss? But tonight, I don't believe we're here to fuss. I don't believe there's one of us here to hurt one another. I believe we're here to help one another. I believe if one of us in trouble, we all feel that burden and that pain. We want to be praying. And we also know this, that my help is not in you and your help is not in me. Our help is in Him. And the way we help one another is to point one another to Him. Listen, the preacher is not the boss of the church. He's the servant. And the greatest one in the church is the one who is the least in the sense of being a servant. And that one that is truly the greatest is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if we keep that in mind, we'll have peace, we'll have joy, and we'll have rest, and that'll be in the Holy Ghost and by the power of Almighty God. And that's the kingdom. That's enjoying the kingdom. He says, is there any fellowship of the Spirit? I ask you, have you ever felt the Spirit here? Oh, thank God we felt the Spirit. I felt the Spirit sometimes in the hymns we sing, don't you? And we in the light of everybody else maybe that sings in the world, would not be considered maybe the best singers that anybody might want to say. And I'm not downing you for that. I think some of the singing is lovely and it always means so much to me. But I'll tell you, to feel His Spirit in the singing is what it's truly all about. We sing from our hearts and make melody unto the Lord. And we do that in the Spirit. And we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And have we had fellowship in our song service in the Spirit? I believe we have. I believe we've had some wonderful song services. I believe there's been sweet prayers. The one offered tonight meant very much to me. I know his knees hurt. I know he can't get down necessarily on his knees. But I do this. I felt him on his knees tonight in his heart. I'm not bragging on Brother Bobby. But I know that comes from the Spirit of Almighty God. It can't come from anywhere else. And I can't give that to Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby can't get it himself. And none of us who've ever been blessed to utter a single prayer that has been of any benefit to anyone or has been of any praise to Almighty God got it from any other place than from the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives that. And we want to give Him the praise. But we've had fellowship in the Spirit in the prayer. And we've had fellowship in the preaching. I've sat there on that bench sometimes and been so lifted up. I know my daughter sometimes thinking I'm just checking her out and seeing if she's listening. And maybe sometimes that's been the case. I will have to confess. That's because I love her and I want her to listen. Because I know what's being said is from the Word of God. And it'll hold up when everything else in your life is falling apart. And you need it. And I need it. And there's been times old Gary was sitting on the bench back there and his daddy was looking at him because old Gary wasn't listening. And daddy's look sometimes can help. Sometimes it just made me mad, which it does with her sometimes. But tonight, I feel His presence. And I'm thankful for that. It's an evidence He loves me and He loves you. And I feel the closeness of the Lord being with us. Which gives me great consolation about whatever comes tomorrow. About wherever I'm at. About whether I live or whether I die, whether I'm sick or whether I'm well. It's like what the little sister said, the Lord's my shepherd. And I shall not want. It's okay if He's my shepherd. He says, I will, to get back to that thought, I wasn't just looking at her. I love to see the sheep feed. And when someone's preaching, I love to hear them preach, but I also like to see God's little children. Maybe it's the preacher in me. I don't know. I hope it is. I love to see God's little children feed. So I'm not just being nosy. I just like to see them feeding. I like to see a response. I like to see God's, I especially like to see this little church feed, because this is a place that the Lord's given me a burden for. And I want to see them feeding. I want to see them eating and growing and learning. And when I'm hearing something good, I want to, just kind of like your teacher at school, you would say, you want to listen, boy. You want to pay attention. And I can't do that, but I can look at the congregation. When I see them feeding, I get happy. It causes me to rejoice, and I get thankful that the Lord is supplying and that He's giving, He's blessing us. He's with us one more time. Do you realize what a blessing it is tonight that He's been with us tonight, that He's been with us one more time, that we've been blessed to have His presence with us? And that's the presence of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's great consolation and comfort. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and every time we hug one another's neck, you know, I hug you as my brothers and my sisters, closest people to me on the face of the earth. Brother Terry mentions it sometimes. We're going to live together forever with these people in heaven. It's not just our relationship now, but one day we're going to be with them in glory. Any of God's children that we meet along the way, and especially in the church where we have a fellowship in the gospel and in the truth, there's a tie that pulls us even closer together. And you're my brother and you're my sister. And if there's something you need, I want to be able to supply that. And what he says is that ought to be motivating. What the Lord has done for us ought to motivate us to be willing to do anything we can to help our brethren. And I if I'm deceived, don't tell me. I want to stay in it. I believe tonight you brethren would do anything you could to help one another. And the reason for that is not because you've got it straight. It's because he's worked something in you that you wouldn't have had otherwise. But what a great blessing that is. He says if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he's not just talking about your inwards. He's talking about what from your heart. If there's anything that's moved in your heart, have you ever had your heart moved? Have you ever felt something deep within? Have you felt a closeness to the Lord and a closeness to His people and a closeness to His church? We sing a hymn, I love thy kingdom, Lord. Why do we love His church? Because we love Him. And why do we love Him? It's because He loved us. And if we love Him, we're going to love His church, and we're going to love His people, and we're going to love His doctrine, and we're going to love the fellowship, and we're going to want to be there. That doesn't mean the old flesh doesn't get weak, and sometimes it means we might not want to be there so much, but yet the Lord tugs us on the inside. You ever had that tugging on the inside? That said, oh, the old body said, oh, I just want to stay. I don't want to go. And the Spirit says, constrain you. Somebody's looked at you the wrong way and you want to just tell them off. And the Spirit constrains you to hold back. Somebody said something, you just want to walk off, slam the door, and leave. And yet the Spirit of God constrained you because you realize how good He's been to me. And because of how good He's been to me, the Apostle Paul says, it makes preachers happy. I also believe it not only makes preachers happy, I believe it pleases the Lord when He sees His little children act like the Lord's taught them to act. He said, fulfill ye my joy. I don't believe this is the only joy that the Apostle Paul had. I believe he had a joy in the Lord that was always there. I believe there was a fruit of the Spirit that he had. But I believe he was saying I believe he was looking around over the congregation too and enjoying to see the love that's shared between brethren. Isn't it a delightful thing? We say, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. You know, one of the things that you see when you see the true church of the Lord's church, here's what he said. He said, this is one way they're identified. Behold how they love one another. They show love one to another. One of the identifying marks of the Lord's church. I believe they're to be sound in doctrine. But he didn't say you could tell them just definitely by their doctrine. Though I believe the doctrine will lead you right to them. If they had the doctrine and didn't have this love, they'd miss it. I'll tell you what was above all of that is the love. The love that you experience in an old Baptist church, which I believe is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and many of you have experienced it a long time in your life, is different than anything else in this world, isn't it? It truly is. Because it's not based on what you've done or could do, but it's based on what He's done, what He's done for you. And therefore, we're to love as He's loved us unconditionally, we're to love one another unconditionally. By the way, that means you and I got to work at that. I got to work at it. You have to work at it. We are to do that. And He says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Now, how in the world can people of such different opinion, how can an Utz and a Carpenter and what other name you want to throw in there, can get along in this whole world? How could we be of one mind? I believe tonight we are pretty much of one mind, thank the Lord. And I believe that's because, I hope and pray that's because we have settled. You could be of one mind and be wrong if you're following the wrong person. But that's not going to last very long. I'll tell you what, to be of one mind in the right way is to have our minds like the mind, His mind. Not our thoughts, not our way, not my way, not your way, His way. And when we come to the Word of God and we say, not my way, not your way, His way. And we settle on God's Word tonight. Let's settle on that what God's Word says it means. And that's what we want to settle on as much as innate as we can. And God gives us the grace to do it. You can't do anything without the grace of Almighty God. But He says, fulfill ye my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And then He says this, let nothing be done through strife, or vainglory, that's where we get puffed up in it, but in lowliness of mind. He says to be like-minded and to be low in our thoughts. We're not to think too much of ourselves. And you know, that's when we get in trouble, when we start thinking too much of ourselves. And I notice I said we, because it hits me harder than it hits you. And I'm not knowing anybody here that does that. I just know I do that. The Scripture says we all do it. So I guess that's you too. But I want to say it in a way that I'm not like Job's comforters. I don't want to be a miserable comforter. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That's why I love it when the brethren are called on to pray, and the one that's called on to pray feels like everybody else would have been a whole lot better off if you'd called on them. That's the way it ought to be. Or when the ministers are called on to preach, you ever notice them? The ones that frown are the ones that are called on, and the ones that smile are the ones that didn't get called on. And and the reason is, hopefully and prayerfully, that from their heart they esteem others better than themselves. That's true of every member of the church. If we all approach it that way, and isn't that true of our families and our homes as well? When we approach it where we're esteeming others better than ourselves, there's a peace that comes out of that is following the pattern that the Lord's laid down in His Word. He said that, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I'll just close with this thought, because I'm going to want to be timely tonight. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, what that means is, don't just be thinking about yourself. And that's kind of a simple rule, isn't it? Good mamas and daddies taught that. Don't be thinking about yourself. And isn't it strange how the world just has gotten that so totally mixed up? Today, people are told, you think about yourself. You know, you take care of yourself first. Put yourself first. That's what the world kind of teaches. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. Well, that's true if you don't have Jesus. But if you have the Lord, you have a friend that'll take care of you. And the joy, I heard this acronym a long time ago where you use the letters for joy. And the first one is J, is to put Jesus above all others. Put the Lord first. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. That's put others. And then last of all is Y, where you come. And that is a true acronym, because that's where spiritual joy is truly found. And loving the Lord first. And then loving others, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then last comes ourselves. The world will think that's silly, but I'll tell you what, we know better. The teachings of God's Word teaches us better. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. And I love you. She got a number, I think she does. Do you have a number, sister? 311. 311. I love you. Thank you. Appreciate all you do for me.